Thank you, Brother Lynn, and thank the quartet. I asked them if they would sing that again. Some of you who maybe weren't able to come to the funeral yesterday, they sang it there, and we wanted to hear it again. And I'll just tell you, Lord willing, if we're still here, I want you to sing that at my funeral. So you've been put on notice. We're turning in your Bibles this morning to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and we want to read beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Verse 9. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he, the Lord Jesus, was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank you today for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your people. What a blessing it is to be in the family of God. And we thank you for those of like precious faith who you place in our lives to bless and minister to us, and then you give us the opportunity to bless and minister to them. We thank you for this wonderful relationship that you have established in your family. And we pray today that if there's anyone here who is not in the family of God, they've never been born again, we pray that they would see their need today. And Father, for those of us who are saved, we pray that you would teach us some lessons here today that will help us to be a blessing to you and a testimony for you in the closing hours of this age. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This is the season of Easter. It's a time when we think about the events leading up to the crucifixion and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. One of those events, perhaps the one with which we are most familiar, is the day that we know as Palm Sunday. But there are other events in this time period. And we want to think about the events leading up to the day of the crucifixion. And we want to think about the prophetic message and the personal message of some of these things in this time period. The Spirit of God, through the Apostle John, tells us what time it is. It's 6 days before the Passover. And he tells us where the Lord Jesus is 6 days before the Passover. He's in Bethany. He's been in a town in Ephraim, a city in Ephraim, for some unknown period of time. We don't know how long he was there. But now, 6 days before the Passover, he is in Bethany. And the language here tells us that he's in the home of Martha and Mary and Lazarus. Bethany and this home in particular have an important place in the ministry of the Lord Jesus. I believe the first time we find it mentioned is in Luke chapter 10. I'd like for you to turn back there, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." And Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Now, let's go back to John chapter 12. There is an important contrast between these two passages. There's an important contrast between these two visits of the Lord Jesus to this home. And this contrast gives us the first of the personal messages of this time period leading up to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus. Now, we just read in Luke chapter 10 that Martha was in a dither. You might not hear that word much anymore, but it's a good word. Might be a little dated. The Lord told her that she was cumbered and careful about much serving. In other words, the Lord told her that she was anxious and worried and overwhelmed about much serving. Today, we would say that Martha was stressed out. She was stressed out. But notice Martha here in John chapter 12 and verse 2. There, they made him a supper, and Martha served. Period. Martha served. Here, Martha is serving, and she's not cumbered. She's not full of care. What's the difference? The difference is something that Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, where he writes about spiritual gifts. And he mentions in verse 7 the gift of ministry. The gift of ministry. What is it? What is the gift of ministry? Well, Brother Lynn just talked about an example of the gift of ministry. The gift of ministry can involve making a supper for someone, serving that supper. The gift of ministry involves many, many, many things. And Paul says there in Romans chapter 12 and verse 7 that if ministry is your gift, if service is your gift, then do it. Minister. Serve. I think that we can say that ministry was Martha's gift. In Luke chapter 10, she was exercising that gift, but she was exercising it with a very bad attitude. You ever done that before? She was exercising her gift, and she was looking around and wondering why her sister wasn't doing all that she was doing. Do we ever get like that in our service for the Lord? What we are doing is what everybody else is supposed to be doing. Here in John chapter 12, Martha served alone. And there is not one word of complaint. There's not one word of protest. It's because she took the Lord's words to her in Luke chapter 10 to heart. And the care and the stewing and the fretting left her. And so the Lord comes back to their home in this time period, 6 days before the cross. And she exercised the gift that the Lord had given her without being cumbered, without being full of care, without worrying what her sister was doing. Not worrying about what somebody else was doing. It's a little bit like Peter and John over in John chapter 21. And Peter asked the Lord, well, what's this man going to do? What's he going to do? We're kind of like that, aren't we? And the Lord told him in so many words, Peter, you mind your own business. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Follow thou me. That's the key to ministry, you know it? Follow thou me. Martha demonstrates something here that Pastor Kelly said from time to time. Anything worth doing is worth doing alone. Anything worth doing is worth doing alone. You don't have to have your sister or your brother or anybody else. If the Lord gives us something to do, then we do it. But then let's think about Mary for just a minute. In Luke chapter 10, Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing his word. And what's important to notice is that here, she, in John chapter 12, she's still at Jesus' feet. But she's doing something. Verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. It is a wonderful thing to sit at Jesus' feet and hear his word. That's what we do here. Every time we come to a service, it's Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. He's here. He's here in our midst. And we sit at his feet and we hear his word. That's a wonderful thing to do. But what effect is the word having in our lives? Mary shows us the effect, the outworking, if you will, that sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word is to have in our lives as believers. She anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. The importance of that, what she is doing, is in the symbolism. Feet in the Bible are a symbol of authority. Well, one of the things that feet symbolize is authority. One of the things that hair symbolizes is submission. So think about it. The effect of Mary sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing his word, is that she submitted to his authority in her life. She submitted to his authority in her life. And it had a practical outworking, if you will. And the practical outworking of it was sacrifice. Sacrifice. We see that in verse 3. And we see something else about this sacrifice. It was very costly. Very costly. And the message there is that if we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior, to submit to the authority, His authority, to submit to it in our lives will cost us our lives. That's how costly it is. Love, so amazing, we sing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Do we believe that? What we see in verse 3 is worship. For all my life, or a great, great part of it, I had a complete misconception of what worship is. I had this idea that worship is people that sit around with this pious and holy look on their face. I'm worshiping the Lord. Worship, it's not worship, folks. Worship is putting the word that we hear at Jesus' feet into action in our lives. Like we read in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Sacrifice and service, they go together. That's worship. That's worship. And the odor of that sacrifice will fill the house. It'll fill the house. The odor, I can't help but think that the odor of the sacrifice of many here who went to see Lynn and Sharon, the odor of that sacrifice filled that house. People who took time as the Lord directed them to, some by themselves, some with people with them, doesn't matter, it's what the Lord led them to do. And that was a sweet savor in that house. It's a sweet savor in the halls of heaven. It's a sweet savor in the nostrils of God. In verse 2, we see Lazarus. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, Lazarus wasn't mentioned in Luke chapter 10, but I believe he was there. He just is not mentioned. He's just been raised from the dead in John chapter 11. And if we're saved today, Lazarus is a picture of what takes place when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Lazarus in John chapter 11, and we don't have time to get into John chapter 11, but what we read there concerning Lazarus is a picture of what we read in Ephesians chapter 2. I'd like for you to turn over to Ephesians chapter 2, if you will. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, let's read it, verse 4. But God, two of the greatest words in any human language. But God, in the face of all that we are. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Think about Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. And when the Lord gave the command to take away the stone from the cave where Lazarus was buried, Martha said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, by this time he stinketh. For he hath been dead 4 days. Four in the Bible is the number of revelation. And here is the revelation from heaven about our condition before God. We are dead in trespasses and sins, just like Lazarus was dead in that cave. And we are stench in the nostrils of God. And the smell that we put off, the stench that we put off, is described in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 6, where we read, from the sole of the foot even unto the head, that's everywhere. There is no soundness in it. In me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Period. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores are rancid, rotting sores. And Isaiah says, they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Because we can't do anything about what we are. And the stench that Isaiah 1:6 describes is what Martha is talking about concerning her brother Lazarus. But the Spirit of God is taking those words, and He wants us to see that He's describing what we are by nature. We stink. We are a putrid, rancid smell in the nostrils of God. Dead in the cave of our sin and rebellion. And the miracle of all eternity is that God, who Paul tells us in the book of Hebrews, is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. The miracle of all eternity is that God would stand before the cave where we are buried, dead in trespasses and sins, and say, take ye away the stone. Take ye away the stone. And all of the stench, all of that putrid, rancid smell of what we are came out. And the Lord Jesus took it upon Himself. Took it upon Himself. That's what it means. It's something of what it means. There's so many ways that the Lord brings this before our minds. But it's something of what it means in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where we read that the Lord Jesus was made sin for us. And when that happened in those 3 hours of darkness on the cross, when God the Father smell the horrible stench of His Son. And why did He smell the horrible stench of His Son? Because He was bearing our sins in His own body on the tree. And when God smelled that, He forsook Him. This is why the Lord Jesus cried with a loud voice from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken? The stone of the cave of our sin had been taken away. And all of the filth and the stench, all of the wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that had not been closed or bound up or mollified with ointment. In other words, the full weight of our sin was on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why this fourth verse is so amazing. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins. We see that with Lazarus back in John chapter 11. Lazarus is dead. And Jesus comes, and John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible, the Jews, you remember that the Jews saw the Lord Jesus weep. Jesus wept there. And what did the Jews say? John 11:36. Behold how He loved him. Behold how he loved them. Lazarus is dead. And there's the Lord Jesus weeping. And the Jews, here's Lazarus dead, and the Jews are saying, behold how he loved him. That's this verse right here. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. These verses that we just read here, it's the order of John chapter 11. And God raised Lazarus from the dead, just as he raises us from the dead when we believe the message of the gospel. And what is the message of the gospel? Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I declared unto you the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that message is to whosoever will. That message is to whosoever will, without exception. And whosoever believeth in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, he quickens us. He raises us from the dead of our trespasses and sins. He makes us alive together with Christ. You, verse 1, hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. He's raised us up together when we put our faith and trust in him. And he gives us his life, his resurrection life. And notice those words in verse 6. He makes us alive together with Christ, hath quickened us and hath raised us up. Verse 6, hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, that's exactly what we see in the life of Lazarus. Look back at John chapter 12 and verse 2. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Lazarus, just like we read in Ephesians, raised us up together to sit in the heavenly places with Christ. Lazarus, that's our standing in Christ. Lazarus is a picture of that. Sitting together in heavenly places in Christ, sitting at the table with him. That in the ages to come, Paul goes on to say in verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 2, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. What a transformation took place in the life of Lazarus. From dead, think about it, from dead and stinking to alive and sitting together at the table with the Lord Jesus. And the stench is gone. The stench is gone. The quartet just sang about it. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Lazarus sitting there, all the stink of death gone. What a transformation. Has that transformation taken place in your life? That's the question this morning. Are you still dead in sins? A putrid, rancid smell in the nostrils of God. Right now, right where you are. The Lord Jesus, it's interesting to think about different ways that he deals with us, how we can think about it. In Revelation chapter 3, he stands at the door and knocks. As we think about Lazarus and John chapter 11, we see the Lord Jesus standing there at the door of that cave. And he's standing at the door of your cave. The cave of your grave where you're dead. And he cries with a loud voice. He calls with a loud voice so that you can hear him over all the noise and confusion of this world. And he says, come forth. Come forth. He calls your name. Calls you by name. Come forth. The question is, will you allow the Lord to bring you forth from the dead this morning? Or are you going to stay in your cave of death? This morning, right where you are, you can lay down your rebellion. You can stop fighting against the Lord, and you can surrender your heart to him, and he'll raise you from the dead, and he'll give you his life. And the stench of our sin, the stench of all that we are, he washes us clean in his own precious blood. If we're saved today, there's much to learn from these three people in these events that begin the season of Easter. From Martha, we learn to serve, even alone. From Martha, we learn to exercise the gift that the Lord has given us without being cumbered, without being put upon, without being full of care, without worrying about what anybody else is doing. Learning the lesson that anything worth doing is worth doing alone. From Mary, we learn the practical side of sitting at Jesus' feet and hearing his word. And the practical side is worship. Presenting our bodies a living sacrifice. That's very costly. That's very costly. It'll cost us our life. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself. But a life that is broken and submitted and surrendered to the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ is one that will be a sweet savor to him. In Lazarus, we learn something of what it means to be saved. We learn something about our standing in Christ. But we learn something of what it means to be laborers together with God. Look at verse 9 of John chapter 12. Much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Folks, the world is desperate. The world is desperate to see believers who live like they have been raised from the dead to walk in newness of life. Believers who are so identified with the Lord Jesus that when they see us, they see him. And that's not a popular way to live. Living like that will bring trouble to your life. Look at verse 10. Well, before we read verse 10, the raising of Lazarus from the dead was a pinnacle point. It was the last straw, so to speak, with the scribes and the Pharisees and the chief priests. We read about that in chapter 11 and verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we do? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation. And so from that day forth, we see in verse 53, they took counsel together for to put him to death. Well, now look at verse 10. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. Put him to death too. When we're so identified with the Lord Jesus, when people see us, they look at us and they see him, it's not very popular. It'll bring persecution. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, listen to this, no glory for Lazarus. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Lazarus? No. believed on Jesus. Folks, this is the end of our testimony, is what it's to be. That people, by reason of our love for the Lord Jesus, by reason of our identification with Him, the way our life is to be as believers is that by reason of us, many will go away and not be drawn to us, but will believe on Jesus. Messages from the events leading up to Easter. Very important messages, very important lessons. And may we allow the Lord to teach us those things today. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word today. And we pray that we would allow you to use it in our hearts. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.